May we join together at this time in reading responsively our morning reading. Therefore, our prayer this morning is a prayer of missionary thanksgiving. May we bow together for prayer. O God, who hast made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the whole earth, we give thee most humble and hearty thanks for the revelation of thyself in thy Son, Jesus Christ, for the commission to thy church to proclaim the gospel to every creature, for the apostles who in obedience to thy will carried the gospel throughout the world, for those who have gone to the ends of the earth to bring light to them that dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, for the innumerable company who now praise thy name out of every kindred and nation and tongue. To thee be ascribed the praise of their faith forever and ever. Amen.
Each year, this seminary sets aside a weekend and invites students from the schools of this state and also from the schools of surrounding states to meet on this campus for a series of conferences on the church's worldwide mission endeavor. This gathering, to which not only college students are invited, but also our own seminary students and the people of Wake Forest as well, is designated the Student Missions Conference. This year, the Missions Conference will be held February the 21st through the 23rd. Now, the purpose of the Student Missions Conference is to acquaint students with some of the problems of and opportunities for interpreting the Christian faith in areas of this changing world where perhaps the faith has not been heretofore interpreted very fully. The ultimate hope for the conference, however, is that this series of meetings may be used as an instrument by our Lord to lay upon some one person or upon the heart of some number of persons personal responsibility for carrying the word of truth to parts of the world where it has never been heard before. To this end, we on the Missions Conference Steering Committee have dedicated our prayers, and we invite you who are concerned for Christ's witness around the world to add your prayers to ours for the effectiveness of the Missions Conference. Will you bow with me now in a prayer for the Student Missions Conference? O Lord, who has called us unto thyself for the purpose of giving us a mission, and hath charged that all who know thee shall proclaim thy name, we offer unto thee the efforts of our Student Missions Conference. Accept our offering, we pray, redeem it by thy Holy Spirit, and use it to glorify the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. One of the aims of the Student Missions Conference Spiritual Preparation Committee is to focus the attention of students and professors on this campus on the worldwide endeavor of the Christian Church as it performs its missionary function. We know no better way to do this than to call on one who himself is a part of the church's witness in another area of the world. Sam Amu, one of our own students here at Southeastern from Nigeria and Ghana, has graciously consented to come and speak to us today about the mission effort, the church's mission effort in his part of the world. I had intended to give you some biographical information on Sam, but when I spoke to him, he said, "Why do you have to do that? Why don't you just say Sam Amu will speak?" So I shall honor Sam's request and just say that Sam Amu, our Christian brother from Ghana, will speak to us at this time.
We have no record in the New Testament of any missionary activity in Africa. We heard of the story of the flight into Egypt of Joseph and Mary with the infant Jesus. African Christians are glad to think that their continent provided a refuge for the Lord in the time of need. Simeon of Cyrene, who bore the cross of Christ, came from North Africa. He was apparently a Jewish settler in a Greek settlement lying in the Berea district of modern Tripoli. One dramatic passage in the Bible, however, gives the first definite record of an African becoming a Christian convert. The Ethiopian in the story came not from Abyssinia, but from the region of the Nile between Aswan and Khartoum. All this show that the Africans had taken part in the Christian religion. The Southern Baptist Convention of America sent the first missionary to Nigeria in 1850. He was Thomas J. Bowen of Georgia. Although we had some missionaries in Africa before Bowen, yet I thank the Southern Baptist Convention for sending missionaries to Africa. I would like some of you in this Southeastern Seminary to be missionaries to my people in Africa. The Southern Baptist Convention must try to win the whole Africa to Christ. This morning, I would like to suggest ways in which the missionaries can become more effective in their witness to Africans. The first thing is they should learn the language of the people. Thomas Bowell went to Ilorin in Nigeria in 1855. The king of Ilorin asked him of the name of his king. Thomas Bowell replied in Yoruba language, "Olorun ni oba wa." That is to say, God is our king. The people were amazed to hear a foreigner speaking the language. The king and his subjects were very happy to hear the word of God preached in their own language by a foreigner. You can be more successful missionaries if you first learn the language of the people. Some of the missionaries in Africa cannot witness properly for Christ because they cannot speak the language. Why do you learn Hebrew and Greek? You learn these languages because you want to give better interpretation to the word. No African can preach in America or in England if he does not learn the language. The study of the language helps to know the tales, the proverbs, and the songs of the people. It also helps to know the custom, the law, and the institution of the people. If Southern Baptist missionaries want to be more effective in Africa, they must learn the language of the people. The second thing is, learn the culture of the people. In 1482, the Portuguese entered Ghana through El Mina. They landed on a rock in the sea which the people usually worshipped. The leader of the Portuguese went to salute the chief of El Mina. He gave the chief some gifts. He told the chief that he would like to break the rock and build a fort on it. The chief asked him to go, and he would give him the reply in 3 days. The Portuguese wanted to start breaking the rock now. On that same day, the Portuguese started to break the rock. On the second day, the chief was told that the white men had started to break their god. There was a battle between the Portuguese and the people of El Mina. Many people died in this battle. What I want you to know in this story is that the Portuguese did not know the culture of the Africans. It was the intention of the chief to consult the elders of his town about the matter of breaking the rock. The chief had to consult his people before anything could be done. Lack of understanding of the culture caused the battle and the loss of many lives. I don't know how some missionaries in Africa can win people to Christ when they disregard their culture. You cannot win Africa to Christ if you disregard her culture. To be frank, not all the African culture is good, but the missionaries are not sent to plant their own culture, but to preach Christ. Mr. Robert T. Parsons, a lecturer in Hartford Seminary, wrote a book called The Churches and Ghana Society, 1918 to 1955. In his book, he said, they dwell on the negative too much and fail to bring the people to a higher standard. Said everything African was bad. Preach that African culture should be done away with. Worked against culture. Ruined culture. They urged Africans to abhor everything that was not Western. The missionaries tried to oppose the African who wanted to be discriminating about his culture. The missionaries thought the African was not educated enough to discuss the preservation of certain elements. The missionaries tried to import Western civilization, which does not agree with African way. They told the people their ways were wrong, but you have told them that Christ came to show the new way, brought in new views abruptly, with no relation to African ideas of worship, and the African couldn't understand the new way. Mr. Mavai J. Haskovite, a distinguished anthropologist who died recently, wrote a book called The Human Factor in Changing Africa. He concluded his book by saying that Africans, like all human beings, take their cultural setting for granted, living their lives within a framework of accepted values and expectations. This is why any analysis of derivation and processes must, in focusing on change, keep in perspective the factor of cultural integration. Particularly in understanding Africa, both continuity and change must be given full place if we are to grasp the new reality in all its fresh meaning. Since Africa is changing, it is trying to move away from copying Western forms of the Christian faith in worship and observances, and strikes out things that are unfamiliar to Africans. Much attention is being paid to the revision of the Bible in African languages. In the study of African music and the church in Africa, Henry Wayman says, African hymn writings is called for. This act must develop freely according to its rules, inspired by its own imagery and its own thought word. Any new African hymn book must be created by Africans, and it is the first task of the leaders of churches to provide the inspiration to this end. This ought to be possible without any admixture of Western influence, as the growth of African acts has demonstrated. My whole point is this. Western civilization and Christian faith are not one and the same. It is conceivable that there are some things in Western culture that are not good. Some things are, and the African certainly should be alert to good, to be alert to take good, but this does not mean to replace one culture with another. The third thing is love of the people. If you want to be a missionary to the Africans, you must have love for every person. If you have no love of Christ in you, you cannot succeed. I am amazed to see some missionaries in Africa who cannot live among the people. They build their houses on the hilltop or far away from the people. These missionaries make themselves colonialists instead of missionaries. They have no regard to the Africans. We cannot show God and His will to the world through our sermons alone, but through unselfish and uninstinted demonstrated love. It is plain that the scripture made no room in the Church of Christ for discrimination against any of our members on ground of color, race, or tribe. Toleration of any such discrimination is not consistent with the experience of the cross. they cannot be truly Christians who hold tenaciously to the doctrine of racial discrimination. And it is a blasphemy, a horrible abomination, to practice this evil in the name of Christianity. Any person who practices racial discrimination is anti-God, anti-Christ, and anti-man. Some missionaries ought to learn that they can be better ambassadors for Christ if they love other race. In the hymn that we have just sung, the first and the fourth stanza reads thus: in Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. In Christ now meet both east and west, in him meet south and north. All Christly souls are one in him throughout the whole wide world. The Africans do not disregard the whites. They harbor the whites in their countries without prejudice and discrimination. A pagan in Africa will never discriminate against other races. The pagans in Africa love the missionaries. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve others. The missionaries desire to be brothers, not masters, servants, and not leaders. Missionaries should be approachable. Friends in Africa ask me in their letters whether the professors are approachable. I said yes, they are approachable. Even I was invited by some of the professors to their homes. I ate with them in their homes. There are reasons why they ask this question. Some missionaries are unapproachable because they have no love for the people. Every one of us here is a missionary. Therefore, we must love our neighbor. In conclusion, we need missionaries in Africa. We need missionaries who have Christ-like character. Africa needs missionaries, not only with degrees, but Christians who love God and man. At the New Delhi Assembly of the World Council of Churches, held on November 23, 1961, Sir Francis Ibiam, governor of Eastern Nigeria, made this point in a notable speech. The churches in Africa still need missionaries, and we continue to welcome them cordially for many years to come. They must, however, be men and women who will be prepared to work alongside the African on equal terms of partnership and mutual respect. Sir Francis Ibiam went on to suggest some of the conditions for missionary service as he saw it. If a missionary believes in human rights and privilege, and that in human society and environment, every man has every right to attain to the highest possible development of which man is capable. If the missionaries believe that all men are equal in the sight of God, if they believe that the African, like any other human being, has his own prestige and his own peculiar, but nevertheless cherish tradition, and yet the missionaries respect it even though this might not conform to his own particular tradition, then I personally do believe, and I am definitely certain that his thoughts in Africa, for long or short, will be very happy, and his services will help knit together in one bond of Christian fellowship the people of his homeland and Africa. The problem with missionary work in Africa or anywhere in the world is basically a theological problem. It has to do with the incarnation. In Jesus Christ, God became man and saw life from the human side. He identified himself with man in his sins, needs, and basic concerns. Unless Christians, whether Africans or Americans, become living incarnation of the love of God, the opportunities for witness in the world will continue to diminish. Africa presents a great opportunity for Southern Baptists to witness to the service and glory of their Lord, but nothing less than a costly identification and incarnation will be able to meet the challenge. May we pray. Our Father in heaven, we acknowledge that we are too sinful. Help us to hate those things that thou doth hate, and to love those things that thou doth love. Help us not to be hypocrites. We pray that thou wilt create in us new hearts and new minds. Help us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We pray for all the missionaries in the world, that thou wilt help them as they walk day by day. For we pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.